Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to take a look at the Acts of the Apostles and the preaching and the teaching of the apostles as they went forth from the upper room, filled with the life of the Holy Spirit, having received what Jesus said to them, you will receive the promise of the Father, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We left off yesterday at the end of Acts chapter 3. Peter, the story of the healing of the lame beggar at the gate, beautiful in the temple. And we looked at the content of Peter's preaching. The sign and the wonder happened, a healing of a lame man that everybody had seen for years and years at the temple. He's now walking and he's clinging to Peter. And Peter uses that opportunity because the crowd's gathering. They're extremely excited and wondering how this happened because it really is a sign and a wonder. And so Peter used it to preach the gospel. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The program's archive there. You can download it on whatever device that you have. Listen to it at your leisure. But what happened is as Peter preached the message, everyone's excited and happy to see what's going on. But then Peter dials in and he makes it clear to them that this man is walking. This man is healed because of faith in Jesus. And so what does Peter do? Peter preaches Jesus. He communicates who Jesus is, that those leaders, that the Roman leaders, that the leaders of the people of Israel and others were responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, that they know that Jesus died, that they falsely accused Jesus. But Peter said he was raised up and he's alive. And he calls all men now, calls everyone everywhere, all men and women to repent and come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. In this beautiful, beautiful section, Peter says in verse 19, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's such a beautiful line. We're all called to come into and to receive the time of refreshing that comes from the Lord. To live with Jesus, friends, means experiencing his power, his grace, his mercy, and the refreshing anointing and love of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter knows that he's experienced it, and he can speak from his experience and say, this refreshing is meant to come to you, a cleansing, a healing, an empowering comes to you through repentance and baptism. As he's preaching this, the leaders, it says in the beginning of chapter 4, this is actually where we left off yesterday, and as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Verse 2, they were annoyed because Peter was teaching, the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is where the conflict began to emerge. Jesus said he came to bring a sword to divide. Jesus, this is the sharp edge of the gospel, the total unique reality of who Jesus is, and the uncompromising proclamation that he's God's chosen one, he's the Messiah, he's the Lord of all, he's calling everyone to repentance, there's salvation in no other name, and that God raised him from the dead, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. This is the constant preaching of the apostles. The religious leaders were annoyed because they thought it was blasphemy. They thought that some believed there was no resurrection from the dead, and that the apostles were disrupting the status quo. Verse 3 goes on, and they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. 5,000 men believed that day in the temple. A sign and a wonder was worked in the name of Jesus that confirmed the preaching of the apostles. And people were convicted, they repented, and they came to faith in Jesus. Religious leaders were obviously upset. It says, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. So the top leaders were present. And it goes on to say, and when they had set them in their midst, that is the apostles, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, you remember what Jesus promised? He told them, if you're going to follow me, and as I send you out, you're going to be dragged in front of rulers and leaders. He said, don't worry about what to say in that moment. The Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say. It's so fantastic just to see all of what Jesus had told the apostles and how they leaned into it. They moved out now with an entirely new optic of reality, a whole new paradigm that they were living in. And now what happened was they entered the life of faith. They came out of fear and they entered into faith under the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter goes forward knowing he's not worried. He knows that what's unfolding is exactly what Jesus told him, and he's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of it because he knows Jesus is risen from the dead, and there's nothing anybody can do to him. The worst thing they can do is what? Kill him. But Jesus has solved all that already. You kill the apostle, he goes right to heaven. At the right hand, he begins to share in the glory that he knows awaits him. Peter would say in his own letter that we've become partakers of the divine nature. He knows the big stuff that's actually unfolded in Jesus, and he's not worried about these rulers who are blinded to the reality of who Jesus is. So, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. That's the central message of the gospel, right there. You killed him, God raised him. He's alive, he's risen. He is God's Messiah. It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ the Lord. Peter goes on in verse 11. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What boldness, what confidence, passion, clarity, courage that Peter exemplified in that moment. He's empowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He's commissioned by Christ, empowered by the Spirit to declare precisely what Jesus wants declared on the earth. Peter was not looking for friends that day. He was looking for converts. He was looking to bring salvation to the top leaders of the people of Israel, the top religious leaders, the custodians of that whole tradition of the people of Israel. Peter looked right at them and called them to repentance and said, there's salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. That's literally true. That's what the Catholic Church believes. That's what the Catholic Church officially teaches. It's not always preached. In fact, there's many voices in the church today that accommodate this word. Oh, there's many ways to salvation. There's many messiahs, many religious leaders. Jesus is one among many. Baloney. Jesus Christ is Lord, and there's no one like him. And anyone who enters heaven, whether they know it or not on this end, they will enter heaven because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of how they responded to the light that God's given them, they are united to the person of Jesus. And when they see him, they'll know it. Because that's what they desired, that's what they loved, that's what they were living for. They were responding to the light God gave them. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can give us eternal life, which is exactly what we need. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they wondered, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. It's a beautiful verse. Really beautiful. Great lessons here. Who did Jesus choose? It's amazing to reflect in history how often Jesus gave the greatest responsibility to those who are quote-unquote uneducated and common. Jesus knows that the secret to the spread of the kingdom of God is not our intelligence and our wisdom. It's not our degrees and our accomplishment. There's plenty of people who have doctorates, who have acquired huge academic credentials, but who have very little power in the ministry or in the teaching that they're exercising. The power comes from God. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. The power comes from the anointing. Remember Father Cantalamessa told me one time, the Pope's preacher. He told me, he looked right into my eyes and he was dead serious. He said, "Peter, I want to talk to you." He said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "Okay, Father, what is it?" He said, "Always remember that power, the power to change human hearts, is in the anointing of the Holy Spirit." That's what Peter was preaching in here. He was preaching in the anointing. It says what? Verse 8, chapter 4. The religious leaders are angry at him. It's an intimidating situation. Peter is in trouble, you might say, but it doesn't bother him. It's an opportunity for him. He knows this is precisely the moment Jesus has shaped and formed him and empowered him for. And so Peter begins to speak, and it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." Peter is not speaking out of all of his intelligence and degrees. Peter's speaking out of the anointing of the Spirit. Peter's speaking out of what the Spirit wants him to remember, wants him to speak about Jesus in this crucial moment. That's where the power is. For every priest who may be listening today, for every deacon, for every teacher of the faith, it's wonderful that we get educated. I mean, I love, you know, I've got a degree in theology. I read philosophy. I love reading and study. It's wonderful. I love teaching. But I know from experience in life, I know not just because of the words of Father Cantalamessa, I know that the power to change human hearts, to bring light to human minds, is a work of the Spirit. It's a miracle. And as Father Francis Martin used to say years ago to priests in retreat he'd give at Franciscan University, he'd say, you know, after you've done all your homework getting ready for your homily, you know, done all the background, the Sitz und Leben and the Formgeschicht and the rest of it, understand the context of the Bible, all you need to know, and then once you're done with that, get on your face on the carpet and beg the Holy Spirit to give you a living word for that community, for that Sunday, from the readings that you've been given. And then give what God puts on your heart to give. Preach from the anointing of the Spirit, not just from the acquisition of knowledge. So what ends up happening in this reading, the religious leaders warned the apostles to not speak anymore about the name of Jesus. And then Peter says in verse 20, "For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard." Who's the we? Well, it's Peter and the apostles, but the we is the church. We must speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.